Well, as you can see, I'm traveling light these days, not wanting to carry much extra baggage as I move through familiar and unfamiliar spaces with a boot on my left foot and a walker in hand. Of course, that's because I'm dealing with a fractured left ankle. But honestly, I generally travel light, whether walking in my neighborhood or traveling by plane to places far away. Unlike my younger daughter, Megan, when going to Bible camp for the first time. That day, the walk uphill from the parking lot to the, of course, farthest cabin was made more challenging by the two big suitcases she'd insisted on bringing. Only thing she needed, she said. Oh, that it seemed a pretty big inflation of the packing list that Mount Cross had sent. When I began to pant and grumble because I was lifting one of them, she simply said, "But Mom, somebody might have forgotten something they needed, and then I can lend it to them." Love your neighbor. It's what Jesus and I taught her. But really, couldn't we love and help them with less luggage? When in today's gospel we hear Jesus call 70 disciples to go out as his advance team to every town and village Jesus planned to go, with a note that they were being sent out like lambs into the midst of wolves, we can't help feeling a little anxious for them and for us, because we know we're meant to see ourselves in the story too. Jesus sends them out with no purse, no backpack, no sandals. That might be a problem for Pastor Steve. With just one another, two by two, a message of gospel peace and the news that the kingdom of God has come near. Be honest, would you have said, "Okay, I'll go"? We who live in today's world and in today's modern church evangelism programs would expect more, much more. Maybe a manual or a three-day training, a sample message, perhaps a backpack with a debit card, a change of clothes, and sturdy shoes for walking those unpaved roads. Isn't it the least you could expect? I mean, really, Jesus, what were you thinking? And really, company of 70, what were you thinking? But Jesus was thinking, not just of the mission he was sending the 70 on, but also of the message that mission would give even before his arrival on the scene. And he certainly was realistic. He didn't think everyone would give his disciples a warm welcome. But Jesus did send out his disciples with the essentials: a greeting of peace, an announcement of the kingdom come and coming, and a demonstrated willingness to build community, house by house, person by person, and then to leave on to the next house and the next town. Although, as Jesus predicted, not everyone or every town welcomed or received his disciples, many did. And yet, Jesus didn't praise the headcount the disciples gave or the statistics they provided when they returned. He asked them simply to go and be his ambassadors, his announcers, and trust God to do the rest. That's why, when the 70 returned, and reported success, as well as some absolute failures, Jesus reminded them, it wasn't their power or powerful witness that opened hearts and minds. It was the power of God through Jesus put into their hands that proved fruitful in so many places, though certainly not all, which is both reassuring and humbling for us who continue to go out and announce Jesus and the kingdom of God. That means we need not despair of our abilities or resources, nor misread the response of communities and peoples as evidence of our power and ability. Just rejoice that we have done as Jesus asked, and trust the Spirit to work in people's hearts and minds, even after you and I have long left the scene. So what about us? Three things, that holy number. One, Jesus doesn't want God's great dream for the world to be held up by risk assessment. Today, because we earnestly want God's mission to succeed, especially in view of the terrible state of things in our country and the world, the church and individual Christians often overanalyze and underact. Maybe you remember the story that just precedes today's story in Luke, where different people say they want to follow Jesus, but then ask for more time. They delay or postpone to take care of suddenly remembered details, to prepare their families and say goodbye. In each case, Jesus challenged their loyalties and readiness and demanded immediate obedience. In today's story, there is no delay. The 70 hear the call and they go. Oh, I'm sure they had some niggling questions inside, but somehow they were willing to take those doubts and questions with them on the journey and see what happened, trusting that something would be revealed to them, whether Jesus' mistakes or God's ability to open hearts and minds, even their own. I think maybe there's one more thing to be learned from this story and applied to our own mission of being peace, including being peace with a capital P, announcing the good news that God intends for all. Faith, we've learned, is all about relationships. God with us, we with God, and we with one another, as part of God's family. How we act on those relationships is as important and revelatory as what we say about relationship. Today's gospel story of a bare bones journey to announce the good news is one that tells us we come to one another empty-handed and vulnerable, and yet we don't come empty-handed. It's just that the gifts we bring are God's own gifts of peace and blessing, meant to be shared with all who would like to receive them, but never forced on them. Vulnerability on one side and hospitality on the other side are what opens the door for the message. No need to stick our foot in the door or to argue the gospel case. Where people aren't ready, simply walk away. God has so much more time and so many more ways to reach people. Maybe we've come at a time when they just can't hear. Maybe somebody else will come at a time when they can, or speak in a way they can receive. It's not about winning points, chalking up personal or denominational success. It's simply about offering what you and I ourselves have received, what has changed our hearts and minds. As we so often say at the close of worship, there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Bishop Desmond Tutu wrote, "God has a dream for us, for every one of us. But God's dream is never a coerced reality, only ever a marvelous promise and possibility for you and me, for our congregation, for the community, for our world." When Jesus lived and died and rose again, the dream refused to die. But it is yet to be totally fulfilled in a new heaven and new earth in ways you and I can't even begin to imagine. Friends, you and I have been entrusted with that dream. We've learned that story. We've seen what happens when it gives birth to newness, peace, love, and hope in us. So let us not lose heart or wait for a better opportunity. Let us rather continue to go about our daily lives with simplicity, openness, generosity, and love to share the dream, the good news of God's love and peace, to share it simply, eagerly, without judgment or coercion. Perhaps someone will say, "Tell me more." Perhaps not. But as you and I know, God's door is always open. And Jesus never wearies of standing outside our door until we say, "Come in." Maybe next time will be the time. Until then, go in peace. Pray for those who, for whatever reason, judgment, hatred, prejudice, fear, cannot open the door. Because God will be there waiting with love and compassion when they do. Amen.